Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The Foreign Secretary of the United Kingdom, Jeremy Hunt, recently asked Philip Mountstephen, Bishop of Truro, to study the persecution of Christians around the world. Bishop Mountstephen, in his interim report, stated that, according to the definition adopted by the United Nations, Christians are suffering genocide. Last March, Mohammedans attacked a village in Nigeria. They burned down 6 homes, destroyed the church, kidnapped 2 people, and killed 1. On Easter Sunday, 2 weeks ago, Mohammedans bombed churches and hotels in Sri Lanka, killing 230 people and injuring 500. Last Sunday, Mohammedans attacked a church in Burkina Faso, killing 6 people, including Assemblies of God Pastor Pierre Ouedraogo. Pastor Ouedraogo had sensed growing danger in his region, but he would not leave. One local leader described what happened. The assailants asked the Christians to convert to Islam, but the pastor and the others refused. They ordered them to gather under a tree and took their Bibles and mobile phones. Then they called them one after the other behind the church, where they shot them dead. A year before, Mohammedans kidnapped another pastor, along with some of his relatives and some church members. Pastor Ouedraogo was concerned, but had said he would rather die than leave the community he had served for 40 years. His son-in-law, who is superintendent of the Assemblies of God churches there, said, "Revenge has never been a good solution. Besides, the God we serve is love. He invites us to love our neighbor. The world is bad, and the church must play its full role. Let us be sentinels, and God will do the rest to the glory of his holy name, even in difficult moments." Pastor Henry Yeh, president of the Federation of Evangelical Churches and Missions in Burkina Faso, said, "In the face of blind hatred, let us ask God to give us the strength to spread love, which makes us the children of God. The unity of the body of Christ and of the whole nation must be preserved at all costs." No matter the difficulty Christians face, they remain loyal to the Lord Jesus. They are loyal to him because they love him, and they love him because he first loved them. Saint Peter is the classic study in loyalty to Christ. Some may think he was a coward, but he was not. A number of events in his life show that he was actually quite bold. After Jesus fed the 5,000 at Bethesda, he told his disciples to sail without him across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. The sea was rough, and the wind was against the boat. About 3 o'clock in the morning, the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, but they did not recognize him. They thought he was a spirit, and they were afraid. He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Saint Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus told Peter to come to him. So Peter got out of the boat and walked toward Jesus. At the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples that he had to leave them, and that where he would go, they could not follow. Saint Peter asked him where he was going, and Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter told Jesus he would follow him anywhere. He said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Shortly after the supper, Jesus told his disciples that that night they would all fall away from him. Peter proclaimed his unswerving loyalty, saying, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter was true to his word. When men came to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus, Peter drew his sword and swung at the neck of one, cutting off his ear. On Easter Sunday, when Mary Magdalene told Peter and John that she had seen Jesus' tomb and that it was empty, the two disciples ran together to the tomb. John arrived first. He stopped at the entrance and looked inside, but did not enter. When Peter arrived, he went inside, and then John followed him. Saint Peter was no coward. He was always bold to speak and bold to act. Saint Peter swore to Jesus that he would always remain loyal to him, and he did fight to protect him. Yet, there is more to the story. For Peter, great man that he was not perfect. When Peter walked to Jesus on the water, he faltered. St. Matthew records, "When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out to Jesus to save him. Jesus took hold of him and said to him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?'" At the Last Supper, when Jesus told his disciples that he had to leave them, and St. Peter said that he would go with Jesus to prison or to death, Jesus told him that he would deny him. He said to him, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." After the supper, when Jesus told his disciples that they would all fall away from him, and Peter said that he would never fall away, Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter contradicted Jesus, saying, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." So said all the disciples. When St. Peter cut off the ear of one of the men that came to arrest Jesus, Jesus told Peter to put away his sword, and he said to him, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Peter, like the other disciples, had not yet understood that it was the will of God that Jesus should die. And so he did not understand that God would raise Jesus from the dead. Peter, like so many others, believed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, but did not understand the nature of his kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is spiritual and not carnal. And he established it not by exalting himself, but by humbling himself. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, St. Peter still did not understand. It seems that when Peter saw that Jesus was resigned to death, he doubted. Then he became afraid and fell away. He denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus said he would. And when he heard the cock crow, he remembered what Jesus had said, and he wept bitterly. Of course, that was not the end of Peter. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, appeared to Peter before he appeared to the other 10. Then he appeared to the disciples, although Thomas was absent. And then a week later, he appeared to all 11. The third time he appeared to the disciples had special importance for Peter. Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, and two others were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. They fished all night but caught nothing. When morning came, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. He asked them if they had caught any fish, and they answered that they had not. So he told them to cast their net on the right side of the boat, and they would catch some. They did as he instructed them, and they caught so many fish that they could not haul the net into the boat. Saint John then knew that the man was Jesus, and he said, "It is the Lord." When he said this, Saint Peter threw himself into the sea and swam to shore. The others followed in a small boat. Jesus had made a fire and had fish and bread, and he invited them to dine with him. St. John writes, "And none of the disciples durst ask him, 'Who art thou?' knowing that it was the Lord. He did not look to them like Jesus, but they knew he had to be Jesus. Who else could it be? They dared not ask who he was, because they knew that if they did, he would chide them for being hard of heart and slow to understand. So they all dined together. When they had finished, Jesus said to Saint Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these?' Jesus asked Peter if he loved him more than the other disciples loved him. After all, Peter had told Jesus that even if all others fell away from him, he would not. Moreover, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, and he used a word that refers to the supreme kind of love, the love of devotion, the love of commitment. Peter answered him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' Peter did not say that he loved Jesus more than the other disciples loved him. How could he? He had denied Jesus three times, and that after insisting that he would never deny him. Moreover, Peter said he loved Jesus, but he used a word different from the one Jesus used. He used a word that refers to natural affection. So Jesus asked Peter if he loved him with the love of devotion, and Peter answered that Jesus knows that he loves him with the love of affection. Jesus told him, 'Feed my lambs.' Jesus asked Peter a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Here Jesus did not ask about his love in comparison with the love of the other disciples. He simply asked Peter if he loved him, and loved him with the love of devotion. Peter's answer was unchanged. He said, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' Peter would not say that he loved Jesus with the love of devotion, but he would say that he had great affection for him. Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.' Still, the matter was not settled. A third time, Jesus asked Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' This third time, St. John writes, Peter was grieved. He was grieved because three times Jesus asked him if he loved him, one time for each of Peter's denials. Jesus, knowing that Peter had repented of his denials, did not rebuke him for them, nor even directly make mention of them. Nevertheless, Peter must have understood the parallel between his three times denying Jesus and Jesus' three times asking Peter if he loves him. Peter would have felt the sting of Jesus' asking him if he truly loved him. What is more, Jesus now used not the word he used before, not the word for devotion, but the word for love that Peter had used, the word for natural affection. The third time, Jesus did not ask Peter, "Are you devoted to me? But do you have affection for me?" Peter answered, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Now, Peter does not answer in the affirmative. He simply defers to Jesus. Jesus knows all things. He knows what is in a man's heart. Peter conceded to Jesus that he knows the answer. "Lord, thou knowest all things." Peter then said, "Thou knowest that I love thee." Here, Peter uses a different word for know. Here, Peter says that Jesus knows from his own experience that he has affection for him. Jesus then said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. Three times Peter affirmed his love for Jesus. And three times Jesus committed the church to Peter's care. And so Peter was reconciled to Jesus. Jesus appointed Peter not only a disciple, but an apostle. Jesus said to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, St. John explained, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Before Jesus called Peter to follow him, Peter chose his occupation, and he went wherever he liked. After meeting Jesus, especially after the resurrection of Jesus, matters changed for Peter. He would have no choice in his vocation, and others would decide his course. He would die a martyr like his Lord. At the Last Supper, Jesus had told him, "Whither I go, thou canst follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Before Jesus died, Peter, like so many others, believed that Jesus is the Christ. However, he, like so many others, did not understand that the Christ must die and then be raised from the dead. So when Jesus said that he was committed to die, when he surrendered to his enemies, Peter's faith was shaken. Only after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to Peter did Peter understand Christ's mission and the wisdom of God. Only then did he understand that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. Then was Peter truly ready to die for the Lord Jesus. Peter spoke boldly on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people believed in Jesus. He so boldly preached the resurrection of Jesus that the rulers of the Jews threatened him and St. John and ordered them to stop. The apostles answered, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." According to church tradition, the Roman state did eventually sentence Peter to death by crucifixion. Peter, in his humility, asked to be crucified not upright like his Lord, but upside down. And so Peter died, proving not only that he had affection for Jesus, but also that he was truly devoted to him, that he would even die for him. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, taught his disciples that the world would oppose them because it opposes him, and it opposes him because it opposes his Father in heaven. He said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." The Christian loves Jesus. And he loves Jesus because he loves his Father who sent him. God loves the Christian because the Christian loves his Son. Jesus said, "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." God in Christ taught us what love is. Saint John wrote in his epistle, "We love him because he first loved us." Let us not be sentimental about the Lord Jesus, but let us be fully devoted to him. Let us always be faithful to him. Let us follow him wherever he leads, even if he should lead us to death. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.